www.tantalknetwork.com. And if we are live right then, it'll come up and you'll hear it live. If the show is already passed, you can go still to tantalknetwork.com, go to the podcast tab, and go down to the name of this show. The Sunday show is Living the Good Life, the show we're on right now, and the Thursday night show is Go Yard. So go to podcast tab, and then you can pull up some of the shows you missed. Also, another way is to go to both of our websites. And the website for the ministry for this show, actually, the ministry in total is www.bohmglobal.com, bohmglobal.com. For Go Yard, it's goyard2014.org. It's an O-R-G. Betty, talk to us about the prayer line here for a couple minutes.
Well, one of the things that Beacon of Hope offers is a prayer line. A prayer line that anyone can use. You don't have to be a member of the congregation. We encourage you that if you have an issue, if you have, if you have a prayer that you need lifted up, you need intercession for, just send your prayers to prayers@bohmglobal.com. And one of the one of three, myself, Pastor Jim, or my friend Shell, we'll pick that prayer up. Send your prayer exactly to at least 50 people, and that's how many is on our prayer group right now. We encourage you to send a prayer request if you want to be a part of this mighty moving force of prayer warriors who are taking these prayers to the throne boldly with confidence. We encourage you to say, hey, please add me to the prayer warrior list. I want to be a part of it, because the Lord is wanting us to pray. He's wanting us to talk with him more. And if you have a praise report where you've sent in a prayer and God has answered that prayer miraculously, supernaturally, whatever, is send us a praise report, because we want to give God all of the glory for what he's doing in our lives. And again, that's prayers@bohmglobal.com.
Exactly. Thank you. Very well done. Some people ask us from time to time, how do we become a financial partner with Beacon of Hope? Because we are global. Go to our website, bohmglobal.com. Go to the homepage, go down to donations, click on that, and a page will open for PayPal. Any money that comes in on that goes directly to pay for the shows that we do. It's not in salaries or admin or anything like that. It goes directly to pay for these radio station shows. If you want to be a part of that and help spread the gospel around the globe, it's a great way to give tithes and or offerings on top of your tithes, whatever. So again, go to bohmglobal.com, go to the homepage, go down to donations, click that, and it will open a PayPal link for you to give on PayPal. And know that your money is being, the word of God is being planted in good soil. Your money is planted in good soil, and we're for the spreading of the gospel. And praise God. Let's start this second hour with There Is None Like You. I love this song. It's talking about how great God is. And we're going to get back with Betty and Megan for the next few moments. And let's just listen to the song first.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Your mercy flows like a river.
Thank you for listening to our all-new sound. If you enjoy what you're hearing, tell your friends. It's the music of your life on the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Suffering children are safe in your arms. There is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all.
None like you, mighty God. We love you so very much. Lord, we just come before you right now as we continue to talk about these amazing events in the book of Joshua. Lord, there is none like you. Only you could part the waters of the Red Sea, the Jordan River. Only you can do the fresh work in our lives that we each need. And Lord, as we embark on these next few moments of this show, we ask that you open hearts wherever they are scattered around this globe, that they will desire a new, deeper relationship with you, better than they've ever had, that you would just kindle a fresh fire on the inside of them this day. Oh, God, that's our prayer. Open your word to us and light a fresh fire within us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Woo! Children of Israel got across the Jordan River. They put up the memorial stones. And then God said, you know what? It's time to circumcise all of these that were not circumcised back years ago. And so this generation that was now getting ready to go into the promised land, the men had to submit to circumcision. Now, this was a sign of the covenant of God with that person. The covenant of God is still working with us today. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It's not that. This circumcision was a sign, an outward sign, much like baptism, of an inward change. Okay? And so when we talk about the circumcision that these children of Israel went through, they willingly said, all right, God tells me to do this. I'll do this because I want to be totally committed to God's plan for my life. Talk to me about that, Betty, and then we'll go to Megan because I know you two have to get off at 4:30. So I want to get you both in here to comment on this and the greatness of Almighty God and how he separates us and chooses us and separates us for his own work. So Betty, go ahead. Are you there? Betty?
Oops, sorry.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
I can.
One of the things that we have to do as children of God is to be the best that we can be. And then that is to serve him
right
with everything that is within us. And I think that once we become more like him, is that there will be a chance in time for us to bring the harvest in. I may be getting a little bit off track here, but God wants us to be willing vessels. He wants
sure.
us to be
yes.
the servants. He wants us
Amen.
To be his hands and his feet and his eyes. And I think that that's what they were symbolizing by the circumcision of the male species is that they do this out of, just like you said, baptism. We do this out of a surrender moment.
Surrender.
God,
yeah.
Whatever you want.
Right.
I'm willing to do. And it's just like that song, I say yes, Lord, yes.
Yes.
To your will and to your way.
Right.
And that's what he loves to see his kids doing, is seeing them prosper,
mm-hmm.
seeing them living a life that is dedicated to God.
Right.
And doing what he wants us to do. And sometimes, you know, we get a little bit off track, but, you know, that path that he wants us on, he'll gradually, you know, put us back on track. And sometimes it's hard. It's hard. Somebody was talking, you know, a couple weeks ago, is like, you know, about being on the radio. It's like, you know, I'm not a scholar. I am not, you know, I don't know and I don't memorize scriptures as much as I should. I read the word, but I let God use me and let my voice be his voice.
Sure.
Over the airwaves.
Amen.
And hoping. And that's what the children of Israel did. They just wanted an opportunity to say, okay, Lord, you brought me through all of this.
Right.
From, you know, from day one to, you know, till the time we crossed the Jordan, you were with me. I would just want to say thank you, and I am willing to do what you want me to do. And that's what surrender is.
That is what surrender is.
Less of me and more of you, God.
Well, we surrender to win, you know? We surrender to, when we surrender and say, God, I want you to show me areas of my life I need to work on. That's like the circumcision. Show me things that need to be cut away, attitudes that I have, a behavior that is not right. Maybe laziness or complacency or whatever it is. God, I want that cut away from me. I want to be all you would have me be. I desire to be used of you in a greater way. That's what I want. Talk to us, Megan. This is that surrender, that consecration, that separation, that sanctification process is the circumcision is symbolic of that. The rolling away of the past and the accepting of the new, you know?
Yes, exactly. Is that you ask the Lord to pull the old and release the new. But we have to do our part too. We have to,
amen.
We have to be willing. We have to be willing to study. We have to be willing to get in the Word.
Right.
You know, we can do the symbolism such as baptism, or as back then they did circumcision to the men. We can do that all day long, but we have to do our part too.
We have to get
involved. We have to seek him out. We have to study him. We should have a desire to want to learn more about him.
Exactly.
To learn what else he has for us. What's in store for us, Lord? We should have that curiosity every day.
Well, and we should have that attitude of God, okay, if you see an attitude in me, you see a behavior in me that does not reflect Jesus, it is not good and kind and loving and sweet, as my dad always used to say, sweet, kind, and lovely be, he would say to my sisters and I when we were fighting or whatever, he'd point his finger and sweet, kind, and lovely be, because, I mean, he was trying to teach us how important it is to be sweet to each other, to be kind, to be loving, to be grateful, to be merciful to people. And so often, Megan, we aren't that. We let circumstances, we get cut off in traffic and we behave badly, perhaps. Or somebody does something to us that really hurts us and we tell 99 of our closest friends on Facebook all about it.
Exactly.
You know what? It's sad, but that's human nature. And God wants that stuff cut away from us. Very much like this cutting away. Gilgal means the rolling away. That's what it means. This circumcision process happened at Gilgal. That is the talking about cutting it away from us. Talk to us about that, Meg. Then we'll go back to your mama.
Well, we should be willing to accept that there are things about us that need to be changed.
Hey, I am very willing to accept that about you, Megan. There are things about you.
Oh, good.
That, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I'm joking. But, you know,
about
other people, we do that, right?
Right.
Right?
But, you know, yeah, of course
we do. We are the first ones to judge.
Right.
Always. As humans.
Right.
We are always looking to judge someone else. But when the Lord points something out to us, we're like, you're not talking to me. Yeah, I am, child. Yes, I am.
Who are you talking to?
You know, that's right. What you talking about? What you talking about, Jesus?
Right.
Is, you know, right. we have to be willing, no matter our age, you know, you mom will dirt me. I'm still a young gun.
Yes,
but
you are.
We have to be willing to be moldable and let go of things that have formed us into who we are.
Right.
And be transformed into being more like Christ.
Oh, that's what it's all about. The Christian walk is a steady progression to becoming more like Jesus, acting like him, looking like him, behaving like him, having the attitudes that people see in us, and they go, what's different about her? Oh,
exactly, Pastor.
Oh, well, she's wanting to be like Jesus. Talk to us, Betty. To be like Jesus. Remember that old song? To be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like him. Huh? You don't know that one? I think it's one that Nathan wrote, actually. From Earth to From Earth to Glory. All I want is to be like him. That's it. The Christian life is simple. Let's become like Jesus. Talk to us, Betty.
Well, you know, I have to admit that, there are times when I fail him. And most likely daily. And, you know, since we've moved up here to Pure, Michigan, people up here drive just a little bit crazy.
And welcome to Florida.
I will not drive in Florida. That's why you y'all drive. No way.
Oh, boy.
But I have lost, a couple of times, I have lost my Christianity driving.
Ooh, Betty. Confession.
I'm admitting.
It's good for the soul, honey.
It's horrible. I mean, people, you know, it's we have snow up here. And
praise God, we don't here.
I you ought to be glad because, you know, we're going to have a polar vortex coming in this week. And I said, I'm rebuking it.
Wow.
But it all boils down to is that we fail him daily, but through grace,
yes,
through his mercy,
yes,
and through the cross, we have that ability to say, God, I'm sorry, and I will try to do better. And
right.
I am trying to do better. But it takes a lot of gumption. It takes a lot of fortitude to say to God, God, I'm sorry. I've wronged you. I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. And we need to be able to do that more often.
Oh, yes.
And because it puts us in a pure perspective before God so that he can help us through with more faith that we have.
Yeah.
The more he understands that I try really, really hard. And people, he is a God who is true to his word.
Yes.
He is more than enough.
Yes.
And he is everything.
Right.
I want to be more like him. And that's what we as followers and believers of Jesus Christ, we have to do more of is to be, again, repeat, I'm being repetitive, is less of me and more of him.
Amen.
And when we do that, it gives us an abundance of mercy and grace.
Absolutely.
And extended to us.
What if the children of Israel, these men that were right there at the Jordan River, what if they said, oh, no, you're not circumcising me, you know? It's just like when Peter said, oh, no, Jesus, no, we're not doing this, you know, whatever, really? When we have to have that attitude of willing hearts to say, God, do what you want to do in me. Talk to me about it, Megan, because so often we are very stubborn and we are also very defensive of the way we behave sometimes. And maybe we need to forgive somebody and we are going, I'm not forgiving her. She can call me, blah, blah. You know what I mean, Meg?
Exactly. It's like, you know, we want to stand over in the corner of the boxing ring and hold our gloves in the air like, I'm not giving out. I'm the winner. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that.
Right.
But that's not the way to be. You know, don't have a spirit of entitlement.
Right.
And, you know, that is becoming so prevalent today in this day and age that it you just see it everywhere you go.
Right.
But it's like, you know, come on, people, come back to, you know, where we're supposed to be, where we're supposed to be Christ-minded, where we're supposed
yes.
to spread love, where we're supposed to spread forgiveness
yes.
when we don't feel like doing it.
Yes.
But, you know, giving forgiveness, you know, it's not necessarily, it's not for that other person. It's for you so that you can move on. You know, those people that if you're holding a grudge, they don't owe you anything. You need to let go and move on with your life, because if you don't, you're holding yourself back.
Oh,
you're holding
so
yourself
true.
Back from receiving blessings.
And I ministered this concept to someone today after church. Forgiveness does not mean we agree with what was done. It means we let it go. They don't owe us anymore. It means that we say, okay, it happened. Maybe you're never going to apologize, but that's okay. I let it go. I'm not going to let it mess with my head and my life and my peace of mind, Betty. And so many people get so bogged down here, and this is where we have to cut away. That circumcision, the cutting away of the way it should be, to just let go and let God fix it for us. And the first way to get God to move in your behalf is to forgive people. Let it go. Talk to us, Betty. I know you guys only have about 7 or 8 minutes, so talk quick.
Well, you know, it's, I'm going to speak for myself. It's easier said than done, because I see so many people who are hurting, and, you know, they blame so many other, you know, they blame people, they blame circumstances for why they feel the way they do. And you have to understand, people, is that what Megan said, you know, forgiveness, what is it, 70 times 7?
Yeah, 490 times a day for each person. For each person.
Each person, exactly.
Golly.
We as Christians, thank goodness for the blood of Jesus, that we can say, okay, God, I agree with you. We don't have to agree with what happened, but we have to understand is that forgiveness heals us internally. It heals our heart. It heals the brokenness. It keeps us, it propels us to more blessings. It propels us to know that God is there, that God is going to forgive you. God forgives you, Pastor, I can say right now, as a born again Christian, sometimes it's hard to forgive someone.
Sure it is. Sure it is. I agree.
They may write you a letter and say, you know, you did this and you did that and you did this, and, you know, half of it's true, half of it's false. But no matter what they said, God, I still forgive.
Oh,
them.
I've had that happen to me as a pastor. And
yeah.
Yes, you got to let that go. And I find this very interesting, Betty and Megan, that this conversation has gotten on to this topic, because this is not where I was or where I thought we were going. But as always, we are letting the Holy Spirit lead. So there, whoever you are out there, and maybe there's 500 of you that need to let go of some situations that are bogging you down and causing you not to live in victory, not to live in all the joy that you could live in, right now, this moment, accept the fact that forgiveness does not mean that somebody makes it right. They usually don't, frankly. They usually don't acknowledge it, and they usually don't come to you on bended knee and ask you to forgive them. Believe me, I've been pastoring for lo these many years, and I will tell you that they rarely do that. This forgiveness starts with us. We are the ones who let it go and say, you don't owe me anymore. I let it go. Megan, talk to us before you guys get out of here.
Sorry, my phone couldn't get up to my ear. That's exactly right. We're the ones that inhibit our own progress. It's not on anybody else. It's not on
right.
your neighbor. It's not on your family member.
Right.
It's all you.
Mm-hmm.
And once you can face that, once you can let the Lord, you know, pull the stones back from those events, there's not going to be, you know, that enlightening feeling that comes upon you when the Lord is when you're allowing the Lord to work. Because I'm telling you, you don't want to inhibit Him. Because
oh no,
there's no peace.
No,
there's no peace at all.
Right.
And you know, we have got to get to a point where we realize that, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people won't like this comment, but we're not perfect. None of us. The only perfect being is
Megan,
God.
You're all the time telling me you're perfect. What are we going to do with this news flash?
Well, don't. I just lied on the air.
I'm teasing you. You never. You're a very humble person. I'm just teasing you because
I know you are.
Because so often we act like we think we're perfect when we stay stuck in our resentment and our bitterness and our unforgiveness, don't we, Meg?
We do. We like to dwell there because.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of us like drama.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah. And, you know, if you get out of that and get away from it, and then sometimes that involves kind of peeling away of some relationships that you have in your life because those can be damaging. But there's a freedom there at the end
right.
of that, at
yeah.
the end of that cycle.
Amen and amen. Woo! Betty, you got a couple minutes.
Well, one of the things that we have to remember is that God's grace, you know, a lot of times we stand behind that line of grace.
Yeah.
On more than one occasion.
Right.
And that, you know, he is our protector. He is our deliverer. And once we understand that, again, if God be for us, who can be against us? We have the power and the authority to come against anything that comes against us.
Amen.
And that if we just visualize us standing before Almighty God and saying, God, I'm here. Use me. And He will give you the desires of your heart.
Absolutely.
Stand and stand firm and believe that His promises are true, that His words do not come back void.
Amen.
And understand who you are in Christ, that you
Praise
are a
God.
Child of God, and that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Absolutely, you
so
can.
So, again, stand and stand firm and believe and have faith that God is on your side and that God is for you. And
Praise
I really
God.
Appreciate the time today to spend with you and Megan. On the radio.
We appreciate you always.
Encourage our listeners to get into the Word.
Amen.
And become a mighty warrior for Christ.
And I want to thank you both so very much. And Megan, I'm going to give you a final thought here. But Betty, I want you to know that I will pick you up at the airport next Monday. I God's been moving on my heart. I guess I will, after all.
Honey, if you don't, I'll just call Uber.
How can an Uber call an Uber? Okay, so anyway, yes, I'll pick you up, and we are thrilled. The congregation is thrilled that we're going to have you with us for the next 10 days, starting next week.
They are,
and Megan, we just wish you could come.
Are.
So final thought there, Megan. I promise to treat your mama nice instead of being mean to her and teasing her all the time. I promise with all my heart.
I know you do. You're a good girl. You know, final comment would be, just that, to realize the magnitude of the story that we talked about today, about the and dig in deeper and get into the Bible about, you know, what the stones meant, what, you know, how well the people were taken care of, that we mentioned that, you know, their shoes never wore out, that the mud never stuck to their feet. Like, there are a lot of points to get into in this story to understand the significance
of
what God did.
Right.
And realize that those type of situations can also occur in your life.
Yes.
And that those type of significant things will and can occur, but yet you got to get closer to the Lord. You got to find a way to, you know, take time for Him and dig into the Bible, because that's how we're fed. That's
Amen.
How our spirits are fed, and that's how we learn to be better humans. That's how we learn to be
amen.
More like Him.
Get in
and
the Word. Yes,
amen. That is my New Year's resolution, is to get in the Word. And, you know, Mom bought me a Perry Stone Bible that's got his commentary in it.
Oh,
and I'll
cool.
tell you, it's so cool because it just, I crave it. And now I've got, you know, getting a little bit more of understanding is so helpful. And it would be the same way for our listeners. It's so helpful.
Great. Praise God. Thank you, Megan Kramer, your mama, Betty Thomas, both of you from Byron Center, Michigan, and a part of a very, very sincere, wonderful part of this radio ministry at Beacon of Hope, and you have been for many years now. God bless you both. Thank you.
You too,
and,
darling. Love you.
We will go on without you. Just me and the music and the radio. Here we go. All right. So we thank Betty and Megan. They had to get off because they go to church. They have to be there at 5 o'clock, and they want to be there for a special time with the Lord, as they always are on Sundays now at their church. Listen to the song, Lord, I Need You, and we're going to kind of summarize some things in just a moment.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Sin runs deep, your grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
How we need you, and we do. We so do. We need him, dear ones. In Joshua chapter 5, this chapter ends with a very interesting story, a very interesting event, if you will. I love it. It's so amazing seeing this and this story right here. After the time of circumcision for the children of Israel, and then they celebrated the Passover, and that was exactly, if you look at Exodus 12:40, as we mentioned earlier, it was exactly the 40 years to the day from the last Passover they celebrated as they were coming out of Egypt. That speaks of God's intentional purpose, God's timing, which is always perfect. It's us that get discouraged with his timing from time to time, don't we? And we are say, come on, come on, what's going on? Why aren't you hearing me? What's happening? And we get very frustrated and upset. But there are so many examples like this in the Word of God where God had perfection on the timing. 430 years to the day from when the children of Israel went into bondage and then they came out of bondage at that 430-year point. That's crazy. And then we see this 40 years to the day where the children of Israel began to celebrate the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And that was always the day they celebrated the Passover, the 14th day, which is symbolic also because numbers are very important. 7 times 2, 7 is God's number of completion, times 2 and is 14. And 2 always represents God's covenant with us, our relationship with God, that number 2. So here we are, and the children of Israel celebrate Passover. And it says here in Joshua chapter 5, around verse 10 or 11, that they celebrated the Passover, and the day after Passover, they started eating the produce of that country. So that 40 years was complete, that wilderness. 40 is always talking about trial and testing. That period of time was over. And so they began to eat the day after Passover. They began to eat unraised bread and roasted grain, and they began to eat of the produce of the promised land. And then the manna stopped. Now, the manna had been provided by God 6 days a week for 40 years on schedule, okay? And it was provided by God, and then on Fridays, they would get enough for 2 days, for Friday and Saturday being the Sabbath. But so 6 days a week, the manna was provided. Now, the day after Passover, this is the new season. In the new season, now, they don't need to be fed by manna. They're in the promised land. This series is all about the promised land and all of us learning what that means for each of us. We went off on that tangent a little while ago with Betty and Megan about forgiveness. When you get forgiveness down on the inside of you and really begin to live it and work it in your life on a daily basis, sometimes hourly basis, whatever, it brings you into the promised land of what God has for you, okay? And so we see that the children of Israel, suddenly the manna stopped. It wasn't needed anymore. Now they were eating from the promised land. God wants you to eat from his presence. He wants you to spend time, as Betty and Megan were saying, in the Word of God. He wants you to get it down on the inside of you. I love the verse in Jeremiah 15:16 that says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they became to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." You know, when you first start reading the Bible, if you're new to this, start in the book of John in the New Testament. Great place to start. And begin to see the work of Jesus and all that Jesus said about him, about his equality with the Father, etc. "And I am the light of the world," he said, "and I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd," on and on. The 7 I am statements that Jesus said about himself. When you begin to get in the Word of God and realize who God is and who he wants to be for you, it'll change your life. It will absolutely change your life. When you begin to spend time in his presence, Pandora is a great source for me on a daily basis. I have radio stations that I've put on there, different people's music like Chris Tomlin or Casting Crowns or Selah or Juanita Bynum. I love her music, and I have stations there. And so I can play that to my heart's content. Pandora music. I mean, it is great. And that's great praise and worship music. Why? Why would you do that? To get into his presence. He's awesome. He wants to be awesome. in your place of work or your home, or as you're going to sleep at night with earplugs perhaps in your ears or whatever, he wants to be awesome for you. Awesome in this place.
As I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, till we're standing face to face, I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your holy grace. I can only bow down and say,
you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father.
Cut off there. What a great song, though. Talk about his presence. Let's look and finish up here in Joshua chapter 5, because Joshua was looking out after they had come over the Jordan River, after the circumcision had taken place, after the Passover had happened. And Joshua was near that Jordan River, and he looked up. I'm in about verse 12, I believe, 13 of Joshua chapter 5. He looked up and saw right in front of him a man standing and holding his sword drawn. And Joshua stepped up to him and said, "Whose side are you on, ours or our enemies?" And he said, "Neither. I'm commander of God's army. I've just arrived." Now, a lot of us believe that was a what they call a Christophany, which is an appearance of Jesus in this form. Joshua fell face to the ground and he worshiped. And the reason we think it's probably Jesus is because angels don't receive worship from people. We don't worship angels, right? But Joshua worshiped this person. And he said, "What orders does my master have for his servant?" And God's army commander said this to Joshua, "Take your sandals off your feet. The place you are standing is holy ground." And Joshua did it. That's one of my favorite songs, Holy Ground. And it talks about entering the presence of Almighty God and really spending time with him and talking to him. Joshua bowed when he recognized this was Jesus. He bowed and he began to worship him. And he said, what do you want me to do? And he said, take off your sandals. This is holy ground. Where God is and where God is working in our lives, that's holy places. When we have these encounters with Almighty God where we feel his presence so strongly and we know that he's talking to us and that he's encouraging us or he's healing our bodies or he's speaking directly to us and comforting us or whatever it is he's doing, that is holy ground. When he's talking to us, when he's communing with us, when you're reading your Bible and you feel like the words just jump off the page at you and that God is saying something specifically to you right then, that's holy. That's a moment where God is speaking to your heart. God Almighty, the God that created the universe and all of us, yes, speaks to us individually. Jesus said in John 10:10 that he was the good shepherd. And he said, my sheep hear my voice. When people tell you that you can't hear God speaking to you, they're wrong. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. As you worship him, as you praise him, as you take time to read your Bible and get into it for yourself, look out, because God is going to do an amazing work in you as you devote the time to spend with him. That's what it's all about. He wants you to spend time with him. He wants you to be in the Word, as we've been talking about today. He wants you to apply the Word to your personal life. He wants you to take notes. Get a notebook. Get a journal. Get a memorial journal that you can write down these things that God says to you or a verse that really stands out and speaks to you. Spend time in prayer. Spend time with God. Spend time talking to God the Father, his Son Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit within you, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God wants to work in you. He wants to do something fresh in you, dear listener, today. I'm going to play Danny Gokey's song, Give Me Jesus, because it's one of my favorites. It moves me every time I hear it. And that should be our prayer. Let it be your prayer as you listen to this today. It's life-changing. Let it get down on the inside of you.
Oh, give me Jesus. In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, oh. When I am alone, oh, when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me come to die, to die. When I come to die, give me Jesus. All I need, oh, it's all I need. Won't you give me Jesus? Oh, it's all I need.
Praise God.
Jesus, Jesus,
just give us Jesus.
Just give me Jesus.
Oh God, that's what we want. We want a deeper relationship with you, Almighty God. We come before you. This is all we need. We just need you. Christ, don't oh, Jesus.
Oh yeah. Oh, he's all I need. Give me Jesus.
Song. It's a desire of my heart. Is it yours? Do you want all that God has for you? Because he has a lot for you. He's got a plan for your life. So many people don't even realize that he does. He loves you so much. There's not one of us that he doesn't have a plan for us. Because he loves us. Because you're special to him. Because you are his child. He loves you so very much. It's time for us to realize the importance of our spiritual lives. It's time for us to realize that for whatever time we have left on this earth, we have a job to do. We have people to talk to. We have people to share in our lives, share what God is doing in us. We have people to pray for. We have people to minister to. Maybe there's somebody that you need to go and pray for them at their home because they're going through a rough time. Maybe there's somebody you need to call. Maybe there's somebody that you need to reach out to. And God wants to use you in a powerful way. I think a lot of people feel that they're not spiritual enough or they don't have enough word in them to let God use them. And that's not what the scripture says. The scripture tells us over and over again that as we seek him, if we're thirsty for him, he'll fill that need in our lives. He will fill that void. He will fill, quench that thirst. He will himself will do a fresh work in us that only he can do. And all he's looking for, dear ones, are people that are willing to let God do that in them. Is that you? Do you want a fresh move of God's Holy Spirit to live in you and work in you? Do you want your life to count for more than just the things that we all have to do every day, work and schooling and all of that? Do you want your life to have a deeper purpose? Because God wants your life to have a deeper purpose. God wants you to choose a path that is absolutely going to turn your life upside down and all for His glory and all for His kingdom. God wants to put you in places you had no idea a year ago or a week ago that you could be. God wants to use you. And what we need in order to be used of God is a humble heart, a heart that says, Lord, I bow before you. I worship like Joshua did before Jesus there. I worship you. I worship you. What do you want me to do? And he said, take off your sandals. You're walking on holy ground. God wants you to spend so much time in his presence that you know and you recognize when you are just moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. It happened to me this morning as I was preaching. I was just so moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. I began to weep, began to cry, because I knew that God was doing something, not just in the people that were listening there at church, but me. He was doing something in me. God wants to do something in you. A fresh awakening, a new day, a suddenly moment, a moment where you come alive into the power and presence of Almighty God, where you desire to read your Bible, where you desire to quote the word and memorize it, and where you desire to listen to music that's going to build you up, praise and worship music, worship that's going to change you so that you can bow before him in his presence. And so God changes us right there on the spot. That's what he wants for us. Joshua was changed forever from that moment of his encounter with Jesus. Danny Gokey singing that song, Give Me Jesus, every time I hear it, it goes all the way through me, and I renew my commitment. God, give me more of you. Give me more of you. I want to talk like you. I want to act like you. I want to bring joy to people's lives. I want to fill their lives with the word of God. That's my desire. That's who I am. That's who God created me to be. Who are you? Are you just biding time on this earth? Are you becoming all that God would have you become? Because he has a plan for your life. And he wants to use you in a mighty way. This has been an amazing show, a wonderful show as always. We follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. You can listen to it again. It'll be up on podcast probably sometime tomorrow. TantalkNetwork.com. Go to podcasts and go to Living the Good Life and you can find it. Share it with people. Share it with your friends. I tell you, God is serious about our relationship with him. Are we? That's my question to you today. Are you serious about your relationship with him? It's not far to Jesus. It's not far. Don't forget, he has a plan for you, and he wants to change your life and turn it upside down. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. This has been Megan Kramer for Mama Betty Thomas, my good friends in Michigan, and me, Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We're going to be moving into a new location soon. We'll tell you about that soon. And God bless you. Have a great week. And know we're here for you. Use our prayer line, prayers at bohmglobal.com. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Talk to you and see you next week on the air.
Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDC.